Right, this is Jason Horsley at Children of Job. Love's armor, exiting the Patrix and recentering the inner man. This week's free post takes a break from the current series on Hollywood as a counterfeit religion and Trump live theater analysis. I was inspired by a comment or two from people who say they aren't really interested in movies, one of whom expressed a preference for land stuff. This is also a more personal post that will directly address you, the reader, in the form of an invitation. The soul of work and the work of the soul. My wife and I currently have 7 goats, 7 cats, including a stray that we feed, 2 chickens, a vineyard with over 200 plants, and 7 acres of land under our care. And this is only the living stuff. Keeping all of these living things alive has proven to be quite the challenge in and of itself. Since we began this project, we have lost 3 goats to wolves, 5 chickens to foxes, and most of this year's grape crop to fungus and pests. The feeling of having bitten off more than I can chew with this back to the land lark, not larp, is one I have on a daily basis. Probably the biggest, most recurring challenge slash headache this year has been containing the goats, both to protect the vegetable garden from them and to protect them from wolves. As a result, I have become something of an expert in fences and gates. After turning 40 in 2007, I met my wife. I moved to Canada 9 months later. 2 years after that, my mother and brother died. My marriage temporarily ended after I discovered that my guru, John DeRuta, was a soul-sucking psychopath, and I moved to Guatemala and then to Estonia, beginning a 12-year collaboration with another spiritual teacher. In 2013, I moved back to Canada and took on a massive crack house reno project. In 2016, we bought a failing thrift store and turned it into a local success story. We paid off the mortgage, sold the renoed house at 300% profit, and moved to Spain to begin this current project. Over the past 16 years, I would say I've got steadily better at an inner level. Things have got steadily better at an inner level in terms of acceptance and general peace of mind. On a sort of parallel trajectory, however, my life has also got progressively harder. Physical challenges, inconveniences, and the demands of living have all increased as age has. Apparently, the more physical hardship I've taken on, the greater my peace of mind got, the more challenges I took on, and so on. A bit like spiritual weight training. Work will make you free, I heard somewhere. Footnote, in case anyone doesn't get it, the reference is to the words embossed at the entrance to Auschwitz, Arbeit macht frei. Most likely this wasn't strictly true. It's a bit bad taste, that joke. Freedom through toil points to a natural universal interplay between soul, mind and body. The soul thrives when the body works and the mind suffers for its sins and is purged. Maybe the hardest part of this sustained shift from mind work to body work has been to get my attention away from mind stuff back to the basics of the body, slowly de-emphasizing the entertainments of mapping hell and even spiritual and philosophical seeking, when all the body and the soul seem to want and need is physical engagement. I dream of the day when watching goats graze is more entertaining to me than reading books by René Girard, and when I can enjoy pruning grapes even without listening to cultural engineering podcasts on my MP3 player, when all my dopamine hits come from nature and not artifice. Then I will know I've moved all the way from mind to matter. Man the plough. If work makes us free, how does that work? Firstly, it needs to be the right sort of work to set us free from sloth, delusion, fantasy, and dependency and give us sustained exposure to truth, capital T, in the form of the natural laws, which are also God's laws, even if Satan does his admin. The more things I have under my care, the more responsibility I have, especially when they are living things whose well-being depends on my care and attention. Power equals responsibility. A lesson I learned at a tender age via Marvel Comics. Only it turns out this doesn't start or end with superpowers. Turns out that to the disassociated power fantasy hungry mind that seeks gratification of all its appetites and distraction from anything that doesn't gratify them, power and responsibility are a real drag. Paradoxically, the responsibility of being beholden to, and only then empowered by, the laws of matter is a sustained experience of powerlessness. Well, incompetence, anyway. The freedom of work comes via two things. One, facing the challenges of matter and slowly, gradually, and painfully gaining competence as our ancestors had only a few generations back before the rot of an entertainment entitlement-based culture took hold. Two, discomfort, frustration, incompetence, and the sheer inconvenience of endless problems plus a relatively retarded ability to solve them leads to a Job-like surrender to the process of living and dying. Power for the soul equals powerless for the mind, and vice versa. As plough is to man, man is to God. Man is the means to God's ends. Man versus nature. This, above, sounds good, but it is a far cry from my current reality. Currently, I am an over-civilized fool chasing after goats and cursing, doing all I can not to punch them in the face for their wanton disobedience. I am the faux farmer who stumbles over every stick and stone and curses every bramble. You know the cliché about couples fighting over the toothpaste cap and the toilet seat. Cohabitation means things aren't always arranged the way you want them to be. It means one's living space starts turning into a minefield of little triggers and the feeling of being constantly out of control. Q. Powerlessness and compensatory rage. Social organization, René Girard has argued, all comes down to managing rage. Owning land and animals is like being married, cubed. I don't think there has ever been a time in my life when I said fuck this much. The more things you have under your care, the less control you have over your life. Goats, chickens, brambles, kittens, they don't care about your superficial comforts. They won't cater to a peace of mind that is so precarious that it needs safe spaces to maintain itself. Matter is not subject to mind. Unless you want to force it to submit through violence and cruelty and end up married to a resentful shrew secretly plotting revenge. We have to earn matter's respect. Force alone won't cut it. Matter is subject only to spirit, so until my mind submits to spirit, it will never be able to handle responsibilities gracefully. With 7 acres to try to dominate, I have found out just how unruly and irrepressible a force of nature is. Turn you back for a minute and all the work needs doing all over again. The pathological drive of our aggrandizer overlords to pave over every last bit of nature, microchip every last grain of sand, and replace all of it with a virtual simulation that can be totally dominated forever. All of this is now much easier for me to understand. The war between man and nature is the war between man and God, and man can only ever be the loser, especially if he wins. Fake father figures. Quote, the human situation at its most basic level depends on there being no fathers and all-wise kings to ensure the rule of justice for a humanity that continues in a state of eternal infancy. René Girard, Things Hidden Since the Foundation of the World. In this week's Jobcast, City of the Damned, I talk with Aaron Shepherd, and Aaron refers to what I have termed the Second Matrix as the Patrix. There's definitely been something in the air in the last week for me, or the ether, or the planetary alignments, and it has to do with challenging what I see as other people's illegitimate father figures. Footnote. Planetarily, there is, so I'm told, a current conjunction between Mars and Uranus. Mars corresponds with masculinity and sexuality, and Uranus signifies awakening, freedom and revolutions, overthrows of illegitimate power. Uranus was castrated by his sons in a revolt led by the youngest, Cronus, Saturn, in order to replace him. The recent bit of Trump live theatre, with or without real woundings and deaths, suggests it's not only me. Whatever this something is, it's currently crystallising in the air and in the collective Western psyche. As far as I can tell, the something in the air has to do with the illegitimate installation of a paternalistic, or yes, patriarchal program in the male psyche, what Aaron calls the venerable other. false ceremony masters that illegitimately assume power on the world stage and thence in our skulls, and who do so partially by being sold to us as victims of persecution as well as saviours from it. Quote, the scandal invariably involves an obsessional obstacle raised up by mimetic desire with all its empty ambitions and ridiculous antagonisms. It is not an obstacle that just happens to be there and merely has to be got out of the way. It is the model exerting its special form of temptation, causing attraction to the extent that it is an obstacle and forming an obstacle to the extent that it can attract. The scandalon is the obstacle model of mimetic rivalry. It is the model insofar as he works counter to the undertakings of the disciple and so becomes an inexhaustible source of morbid fascination. This is exactly opposite to how love in a Christian sense works. End quote. Girard. Fake father figures, or FFF. Footnote. For those who like Sinks, the name of a public image song, FFF, on their most celebrated album, with the lyrics, senseless reasoning, you believe what you want to believe, farewell my fair weather friend, on you no one can depend, bad times, now they must end, and the shutter speed of your thinking process is small, too full of pride, lost in a storm. End footnote. JFK, RFK, MLK, JBP, RFK Jr., Alex Jones, Donald Trump. Does anyone still believe in these second matrix controlled op figures of pseudo-salvation? The answer is yes, many still do. Most of them, or you, are young, or not so young, men, desperate to believe in miracles, no matter how shoddy. To believe that the culture that oppresses them might somehow conjure up trustworthy leaders to lead them. The dads they never had. Even before my Trump post, which so far hasn't received much kickback from the patrons of Trump lovers, I've been questioning the sort of doublethink that venerates celebrities who are supposedly miraculously self-made or crowd-funded, both past and present, and being met with predictable resistance. To me, it is tautological that there are no benign celebrities, because no countercultural celebrity becomes one without being enabled by the culture they are supposed to be countering, and because having a high body count of fans means parasocial relationships are multiplying, and parasocial relationships are finally empty and without soul, because they are one-way connections. They are exactly opposite to how love, in a Christian sense, works. This may be why, after 30 plus years assembling and disassembling internet platforms, I basically never get past the 200 number. Because I don't do parasocial. No celebrity, indeed no other, is worthy of veneration. This is clearly and starkly exemplified via the current apotheosis of TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome. As previously sane individuals start clamouring to get aboard a holographic orange beam fathership held aloft by the stupendously manufactured belief that God performed a miracle on 7/13 by saving DJT's life from an inept assassination attempt. Presumably this was so King Donald could go on to do God's work, help us usher in the kingdom of God, and restore his blessed son Alex J to former glories, etc., etc. But it is perhaps kindest not to follow delusions through to their logical denouement. If you believe any of this, I will continue to love you because Jesus tells me I must, but please don't bring any flowers to my door or try to sell me a MAGA hat. What do I know? Opinions are like assholes, etc. Footnote for MAGA, messiahs always get anointed or assassinated. Men become autonomous and ensouled by working together as one community body, with no fixed leader who is not also serving those he leads. Gathering parasocially around an idealized male figure is the satanic inversion of this natural arrangement. There is only one father figure worth letting into our psyches, only one man who can father us. All of these cultural surrogates are exploiting a lack of connection to that in our own lives. That original man. Quote, the word of the Father, which is identical with the Father, consists in telling mankind what the Father is, so that people may be able to imitate him. Love thine enemies, pray for your persecutors, so shall you be sons of your Father. From Girard. The past lack of a good Father to have given us the tools to orientate ourselves towards the true Father, past, present and future, who art in heaven. A nation of men. After my all too brief experience of working the land with Luke Dodson and Adam Holmes in June, I became more acutely aware than ever of how much my soul thrives on male companionship in the form of natural collaboration. I would even say that male teamwork is a close second in terms of my soul's needs to getting right with nature. Or maybe a first. Why should men gathering where women aren't generally invited be so nourishing to my soul? On our mini retreat, the women did the cooking and dishes while the men worked. Footnote. Luke Dodson provided this feedback. It was an interesting and refreshing to experience a gender division of labour. Many of my experiences volunteering have involved mixed teams of men and women. The leftist bias present in a lot of alternative communities and land-based projects leads to an undifferentiated social mush, which kind of dampens gender polarization, if that makes any sense. Makes me think of Ivan Illich's Gender. End footnote. And how or why is it the spiritual equivalent or complement to working with the laws of Mata, Meta, the Mother? Maybe the answer is in the question. Men need to stick together if we are going to take on Big Mama. Emerging from the matrix, mother bondage leads inevitably into the patrix. Well, yeah, otherwise. Men lost their way when they lost their sense of reality, beginning with the reality of sex and sexuality. The soul requires full embodiment to serve the spirit, and bodily speaking, we are our sex, we are men. Or were, before we were castrated and delegated, both men and women, to some sickly dissociated in-between limbo realm. Recentering maleness means getting our sex back where it needs to be. There can be no good women until there are good men. Eve only tempted Adam because Adam wasn't keeping Eve in check. Footnote. There is a particular kind of non-competitive, non-distracted, siren-free focus and interaction that allows for the discovery and development, developing by discovering, of virtue and goodness, which I am going to say are intrinsically male qualities, archetypally speaking. Men can best become embodied by working and playing together without the ceaseless jingle-jangle effect of the woman's gaze or their often unintentional siren's song. To develop trust and acceptance among one's own sex means to let go of the social armour of guyness, as instilled by the culture of crap we imbibe, and to allow the life force to flow out of the head and bollocks back into the heart where it belongs. Only a heart-centred body allows the soul to come home. Last week I woke from a dream with the words, "Love of Christ is your armour." And where man is embodied, where two or three are gathered for this purpose, God is not far behind. In fact, he's way ahead of us. Entertainment, titillation, stimulation, distraction, dissociation, fantasy, all substitutes for religious meaning, which is the experience of the soul. This latter can be facilitated by forms of so-called sacred art, that is, by divine revelation canned for preservation purposes. But the soul's primary means of embodiment, our salvation, is through a natural engagement with matter, physical work with animal, vegetable and mineral kingdoms, in combination with human community. Body of Christ, whose only armour is love. I invite my subscribers to contact me or comment below if you're interested in any of the following: a live streaming event, a mixed online meeting, or a men-only online meeting. Likely time would be either around 3 p.m. UK time, which is 10 a.m. Eastern time, or 6 p.m. UK time. Reply to this if you received it by email or comment below, or email me directly to jason@protonmail.com. Say which of the three options you are interested in.